And we are in volume 2, page 177. Paragraph first. So this paragraphs, brethren, they are very tight all together. But I think we will go with the first two, but we're gonna read first only, and we'll have a little discussion like an introduction. And of course the second paragraph is the antitype and see how this will be in the future. So, and we will choose, someone who wants to go volunteer. I don't want you to put on the spot how I did with Oksana. I'm sorry, but sometimes it's something like that. So who wants to read the first paragraph only? Brother Bill? Okay, we'll go with Brother Bill F.
The account of this observance is found in Leviticus 25, verses 10 to 15. Read thus. You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It is a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. And if thou sell aught to thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of the years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of the years thou shalt diminish the price of it. Over.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Bill. And we will ask David to read Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10 till 16. It's pretty much the same close, but we really like to read the Bible and see exactly the words, how actually was managing this to Israel.
And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 15th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine under seed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, he shall not oppress one another. According to the number of the years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor. And according unto the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. And according to the fewness of the years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits that he sell unto thee. He shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God.
Yeah, I like verse 17 as well. It's still part of it. Because it's a relation between the brothers. So, okay. All right. So we're seeing how this was happened to them. What was the rule, the rules? And we know that they obeyed how they could. Let's bring this for discussion and see what we're thinking and what and how we're understanding this. Who'll be first? Brother Bill? F? Maybe you have a thought because you read it?
Brother Igor, I remember from the meeting last week, you described it pretty well, and you and Brother Jerry, about how the arrangement by our Heavenly Father is presented, that the part that I appreciate is that depending on the number of years until the Great Jubilee, the 50th year, it regulates how much the land is worth.
Yeah.
And whether it's going to be a higher price or a lower price, depending on how close it is to the 50th year. And then the thought that you brought out that the, if there's a debt that was owed and, a person was, satisfied that debt by giving land from a certain family, then the debt would be forgiven at the end of the 50th year, and the land would be returned to the original owner. And I just wanted to say, Brother Igor, I looked this up, and I always have appreciated this. I think most of the brethren know pretty much that the Leviticus 25:10 is inscribed on the Liberty Bell. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That's inscription on the Liberty Bell that's in Pennsylvania. And if the... the world is going to find out that what that really means for everyone in the entire world, that the great jubilee, that the great messianic reign of the millennial age.
Very good comment. Oh. Thank you, Brother Bill. So what we're starting our discussion, brethren, here, what we're seeing, if we're speaking about Jubilee, if we're closing our eyes, means liberty. The main point of this Jubilee, it actually to be return everything back, to have liberty. Okay. Thank you, Brother Bill. We have three more hands. From Tower Connection, Sister Margaret, and then Sister Sharon, please.
Well, Brother Igor, this is just a thought that I had. Obviously, we so desperately need this to be reinstituted in our lives, the Jubilee year. But I think the Great Jubilee, and it will occur, will be when the kingdom is established. You know this is going to happen. And from that point on, that's the type of world we will live in. Just a thought, it doesn't really have a great deal to do with what we just read, but I think it's important. Over.
Thank you to going ahead a little bit, Brother Jim. I appreciate it. This will be in the second paragraph, and we're going to have a little bit more discussion on this. But I like how you see the connection right away. Sister Margaret, please.
Yes, so long as Brother Bill brought that up. To me, it is an interesting fact that on the Liberty Bell, it reads, proclaim liberty. Liberty is in all capitals throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And then just some extra details that make it that much more significant to us is, it was made back in 1751, the original bell. And then it says, the Liberty Bell last hit the road in 1915. Back in the day, the bell went on tour around the United States, but in the days before World One, it became clear the bell had condition issues. Today, it resides at the Liberty Bell Center in Philadelphia, where it is occasionally tapped and off. So the fact that the Liberty Bell had a significance in 1915, in my mind, means, you know, 1914 brought us to a point where the kings of the earth were ruling, and I'm thinking of the Daniel scripture. I won't go into more detail, but it's just an interesting fact to me that even the Lord seemed to use that to bring a message to us if we can understand and appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Margaret. And we'll go with Sister Sharon, please. Microphone.
Yes, I have a question. In connection with, it's one, two, three, starts about the fourth line down in the paragraph on 177. And it says, in it is a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and you will return every man unto his family. Can I have some comments, please, on, I understand the possession, I understand the land, I understand the people, but I don't know what it, why it's saying you return to his family. So are we saying that during that time, he, the person that owned the field or owned the property, was working for somebody else, but his parent, his family was still on the field? I thought it went along with the 16th. Well, maybe it's the 16th. And oh no, it's 15 of 25. Anyway, if somebody else,
verse 15
of Leviticus 25. But the paragraph, my question is, in every man unto his family. So why would Brother Russell be saying this at this paragraph, please?
Okay. Well, I see two hands. I'm not sure if they are related with Sister Sharon's question, but I see the fresh one we have in the room here. Sister Arlene first, and then Sister Chris.
Well, when it says every man should be returned to his family, in those days, if a person got into debt or for some reason had to sell himself into slavery and work for someone else, that slavery ended on the Jubilee year. He would go back to his family. If his family was part of the slavery, they would not be in slavery anymore.
Sister Chris, thank you, Sister Arlene.
I think this is the source of the term indentured servant, where you sold yourself. You signed a contract and said, I belong to you for a certain period of time. And I think this is probably part of the origin of that.
Thank you. And to add to Sister Sharon's question, from my personal notes here, I remember that on those days, people were living around 100 years, plus minus. Now, what is telling me this is they had this opportunity twice in their life. You follow me? You see what I'm saying? Had this opportunity twice. So it's a very good providence, how Heavenly Father managed these rules for them. Interesting. Okay, we'll go back to David, and then we'll go to Brother Brad and Brother Jim. Oh, okay. Brother Brad, over to you, please.
Brother Igor, I just was going to bring up something that Sister Marilyn asked before the meeting that we were talking, and she asked a question about how did they eat, you know, how did they, practically speaking, how did they eat for this 2 years? It was Sabbath year, no planting or harvesting, followed by a Jubilee year, no planting or harvesting. Well, that maybe in 25:11 where we read, it says that you'll just eat that which grows of itself. But down in verse 21 and 22 is to me the answer.
Yeah.
It says, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and you shall bring forth fruit for 3 years, and you shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, you shall eat of the old store. So just on a practical level, she had asked that question, and I found this verse a little further in the chapter, which to me was a good, helpful answer. So that was it, Brother Igor. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, I was reading these verses again in the morning, and I noticed that they were assured on this Jubilee year, they will have the food for 3 years. So they had with their hearts, their attitude, very silent, because everything is part of the celebration. You do not need to think on to seed and work, and you have to celebrate. It's a very special event. Very, very good one, Brother Brad. Thank you. And let's go with Brother Jim, please. Brother James.
Yes, the Jubilee is also a picture of our life, okay? We generally, in our lifetime, work about 50 years. If you think about what it says in the Psalms, you know, if a man is, 70 years old, you know, he's strong, but he may make it to 80, okay? But at the same time, we don't really begin working until we're about 20, all right? So between 20 and 70, which is 50 years, that shows basically our productive years. And the idea, of course, is that we fall into debt. And under the law, if a person fell into debt, a relative of his could purchase him out of debt. Well, we essentially have fallen into the debt of sin, and Jesus has redeemed us from that debt. Now, there are obviously the rest, he doesn't do that for the whole world during the gospel age, but essentially he does it for the rest of the world during the millennial age. But that's really when all the debts are canceled. And so it's the millennial age really shows the Lord's redemption for the whole world of mankind over.
Brother Jim, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Can you read verse? It's not related with what you said, but I really want to ask you, verse 20, chapter 25, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 14. Can you read it and comment a little bit, please? And your microphone is closed.
If you make a sale to your neighbor or a purchase from him, you must not take advantage of each other. You are to buy from your neighbor according to the number of years, so on.
Right. How you understand this? How this was happened?
Well, I think that was, because of the Jubilee, the value of the land was increased or decreased, depending on where you were in the Jubilee cycle. I don't think that particularly applies to us, being redeemed by Jesus, which is what I was getting to, that this has a much bigger aspect. But for the natural Jewish people who were under this particular law, that's how they would have done it. They would have, figured out the value of the land depending on how many years it was to the Jubilee itself. Over.
Yes, thank you, Brother Jim. The reason why I ask you is that my mind goes a little bit wider, and we have an incident, excuse me, in New Testament when someone sold their land, and they came in front of the apostles, and they told them different numbers. And that was the husband first, and I don't know, how you say, Ananias and Sapphira, right? So this was happening in their lives. Why I ask this, it might be something somehow in our lives, how we're managing our own situation, and when we're speaking with our dear ones, our brethren ones, we might change the numbers, we might change the point, we might change something that the Lord will not like it, and we will be in danger. I don't know, not maybe lose our life, but have something that we will suffer. So that was my point. Brother Jim, please.
Yeah, Brother Igor, I don't think that Ananias and Sapphira were selling according to the Jubilee, because at that point the Jubilee was not being kept by Israel. Their real problem was the fact that they were lying and taking advantage of the brethren in a way which they should not have done. And so the Lord didn't take too kindly of that. Over.
Okay. Yes, that's right too. Okay. I think you brethren have got the point. I'm just thinking loudly. We are in danger. We have to be very focused and do right thing. Sister Chris, please. So Sister Chris and Sister Amanda.
Oh, okay. The whole point was they sinned against the Holy Spirit. They knowingly sinned. Paul confronts them and asks them twice and says, you know, did you really do this? Because it was reported to him, and they knowingly said it. And I think he fell over backwards and died. And then when she found out, and she had said the same thing, she did the same thing. But on a side note, there were actual slaves that served the temple, and they actually, their children also served the temple for their whole lives. They were never free because it was part of their duty to serve the temple because they had knowingly given themselves.
Okay. Sister Amanda.
This was reminding me of something that Brother Russell had said much better than I remember it, about the best way to be honest is just to be honest. So when you just tell the truth, then you don't have to worry about the numbers and remembering. And next time I'll know and be able to say what he said. I was glad to hear Brother Brad bring up those verses in Leviticus where Jehovah said, this is not only you have to do this, but this is how I'm going to provide for you. When I was doing my Google AI searches on Jubilee to supplement other searching, it always came up with things, but it never said what Jehovah had stated. I will take care of you. I'll increase it during the sixth year. I'll take care of you. Everything just said this was to help them trust in God, but it never said that he stated exactly what he was going to do and how he was going to take care of them. And so I think that that's really important. But the Liberty Bell was brought up, and that is fading, but the words will always remain true because they are from Jehovah. Over.
Right. Thank you, Sister Amanda. And I'm not sure if Brother Brent mentioned verse 20. He said overview all of, like, he rounded, and I think he read verse 21. But verse 20 specifically is the questioning verse. If we're going to be this and this, how we're going to manage? The questions appear in the family, right? Especially sister to the husband. How we're going to eat? What we're going to eat? And this is how Heavenly Father provides. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sister Amanda. And yes, we'll go with Brother Jerry.
Brother Igor, there's a lot of little details in this chapter, in the whole chapter. But the general principle is, I think, stated in verse 23. Leviticus 25:23. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. So the land is Jehovah's. It's the Heavenly Father's land. It is not belonging forever to any one person. So he had this kind of leveling time when it was returned to close to how he divided the land when Israelites came into Canaan, into the tribes. I don't think that today the Jewish people can identify their tribes and in the same way as clearly. But that was the intention, is to remind them that it's not your possession, it's mine. And I am allowing you to live there. It's sort of like the old European system of the feudal system, where all the land belonged to the king. And the people could farm the land and provide for their own and maybe even make some sales. But the blessing was because the king allowed you to use it. And this belonged only to the open fields, where they could plant large fields and harvest. The rule did not apply to fenced cities or walled cities. And in fact, it did not apply to the Levites. The Levites were an eternal possession. But the land itself was God's over.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I mark this verse as well. Really, really nice verse and assurance for generations that this is God's land. Thank you. I think we pretty much... Sister Sharon?
Yes, Brother David was before me, but he took his hand down.
He's managing the hands.
Oh, I see. Okay, Sister Alice gave me, while we were talking about Leviticus 25 and my question, she gave for us to look at Leviticus 25:39-40. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. That helps to answer my question. Thank you.
Oh, good, good. Very nice, Miles. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Okay, brethren. Generally, we had a good discussion about this paragraph. I think we'll go with the next one. And was two hands at that time. The second hand was Sister Amanda to read the paragraph, and we will have her reading the second one.
This arrangement provided by God through their leader and typical mediator Moses, though itself a blessed boon, foreshadowed a still greater blessing which God had in view. The release of all mankind in service to Christ, our the greater mediator and whom Moses typified. It was thus entitled, wrote of blessings to come through the great restitution and jubilee to come to all the race, now groaning under the bondage of corruption and slavery to sin.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Amanda. And we will ask Brother Jim Tower to read Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15. It's a little bit hard for me, this book, to say. Chapter 18,
yes.
Verse 15, please.
Chap-
Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Okay. The Lord thy God will raise up thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken.
Based on last comment, Brother Jim, that you had previously one, and this verse, do you see any connection, please? You can read one more time if this will help for you.
Well, I think, the expanded comments will explain it, will raise up the entire gospel age has been a period of the Christ head and body raising up, now being prepared, educated, and disciplined, and instructed for a missionary work. So I see where it is very much like what my thoughts were.
Yeah. Okay. What about Sister Stephanie? Sister Stephanie, we're seeing here, Brother Russell is telling us that the Moses is representing Jesus. Do you have any comment about this?
You just gave my comment. Moses represented Jesus, and then in the New Testament we have Acts 3:22 that I'll read it.
What was the verse?
Acts chapter 3, verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So Jesus Christ was the antitypical Moses, and the blessings are to flow through him.
And I think the last sentence, the great restitution and jubilee to come to all the race, now groaning under the bondage of corruption and slavery to sin. I mean, that's exactly what my thought was. And that's partially where my thoughts came from in reading and studying for the class today.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Jim, Sister Stephanie. Sister Margaret, please.
Yeah, just in that Acts 3, which confirms what Sister Stephanie said, it's talking about the times of restitution, but the last verse, 3:26, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So it confirms that Moses was speaking of Jesus to do the blessing. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Margaret. Now we'll probably ask Brother Bill O. Brother Bill, if we're having this nice connection here with Moses and how he was managing the people, this jubilees, the rules and everything, right? And now we're seeing an antitype, Jesus, how he's from 1874 present, and how he is managing, how he will institute, how he will tie this and celebrate this, having this a big jubilee or the jubilee. How do you see this, Brother Bill?
Interesting question and thought-provoking. I envision a time in the future when, as mankind comes to their wits' end through this time of trouble, And the ancient worthies step in, and some miraculous interventions happen in regard to Israel, and we see Israel being blessed, and Israel having a jubilee in the land of Israel in a special way, being saved from a lot of oppression and attacks in their land. That will be the sounding of a trumpet that will begin to sound, I think, at that time. Back to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Bill. And we're looking here for that verse where it says, Yeah. Milika is helping me with the verse here. Isaiah 2. Can you read it, please? Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3.
And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
It's so good to have the cameras open and so many people in the room. I can see the eyes in the reaction. And I catch one reaction right now. And I want to ask Sister Ellie, what do you think about this? If you have your own thoughts. How this will gonna be managed?
It said it's going to be managed from the Christ down through the great company and the earthly representatives, the ancient worthies. And as it spreads, I think the kingdom spreads. I think in Revelation it says, say to everyone, come, and then everyone that comes extends the message. Everyone will be helping, ultimately.
Thank you, Sister Ellie. You see, Brennan, a little more complete here. We miss somehow. Great company. You see that? Great company has a very special role. And Heavenly Father is using them on the chart of the ages. If we're looking, it's on the left wall here. We're seeing that there is on the second plan L on the chart of the ages in that pyramid. Okay, we have one more hand from Tower Connection, please.
I just love Isaiah 2, 2 and 3 and 4. And I was thinking about, you said, how is this going to happen? And I love the, out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Pastor says Zion is the heavenly kingdom. Jerusalem is the earthly face. And then, as a result of that message that will be then plain to all the world, the judgment will begin on the nations and pronouncements will go out. There's a whole new arrangement. You're not going to do things the way you did before. And they will not only stop warring against each other, but they'll take it a step further and beat up all their weapons of war and start farming the land, which is so good and productive, you know, just a wonderful solution, a complete turnaround. And I just love all the 180 degree turnaround that's pictured in that, in those verses. Over.
Okay. Very, very general thought. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. And we have one more hand here, Brother Templey. Okay.
Well, if you read Isaiah 3:5, it says, and the people will be opposed, each one by another, and each one by his neighbor. The youth will storm against the elders, and the inferior against the honorable. When a man lays hold of his brother and his father, how saying, you have a cloak, and you shall be our ruler.
And we have one more hand. Oh, Cecile. I
just wanted to quote the scripture that I just cited. It's in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. So everyone has a part in it. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Thank you. Okay, very interesting. Do we have any more comments for these arrangements, for the second paragraph, or maybe the first two? I do not see any more hands. And our time is like 10 more minutes. We can read the paragraph to be prepared for next time. We'll see if we'll have a little discussion, but let's read it, brethren. And if we're going to read next time one more time, that will not be an issue. So we'll have a third paragraph reading here. What we'll ask Sister Alice. Sister Alice, we'll ask you 177, paragraph 3, third one. Good. It's good. It's good.
Is it okay?
Yes.
Okay, so third paragraph on 177?
That's correct.
If the shadow brought happiness and joy to the typical people, the substance, the real restitution, will cause boundless joy and will indeed be a grand jubilee to all people, all the world, including Israel, being typified by that people. Even as their priesthood represented the church, the royal priesthood, even if we were not definitely informed, what would be more reasonable than to surmise that the same infinite love which provided for the temporary welfare of Israel, a stiff-necked generation, would much more make provision for the lasting welfare of the whole world, which God so loved as to redeem while yet sinners. And here it may be well to note what will be more fully shown hereafter, that while in one aspect the Israelites were typical of the believers of the gospel age, in another they represented all who in any age shall believe God and accept his leading. And in this character, we are now reviewing them. Their covenant sealed with the blood of bulls and goats was typical of the new covenant sealed with the precious blood of Christ, under which the reconciling of the world shall be effected in the next age. Their day of atonement and its sin offerings, though in type to that people and for their sins only, typified the better sacrifices and the actual atonement for the sins of the whole world. But note that the Jubilee applied not to Israel's priesthood, typical of the gospel church, but to the others only, for the priesthood was given no possessions, and hence could neither lose nor have any restored. The Jubilee was for all the people except the priestly tribe, and hence typifies not those blessings which are to come to the church, the royal priesthood, but the restitution blessing, earthly blessings, in due time to come to all those who become believers in and followers of God.
Well, Sister Alice, you read a quite larger paragraph here. And we will ask you, how this paragraph is tied with the other two. What's the main point? How you see this?
The Jubilee was for the Israelites, not their priesthood. That was the type. The antitype is that this return to their land and return to their families out of any slavery refers to the world in the millennium, not to the church class. The church class will be on the other side of the veil then. But this return, the resurrection from inhumanity, is going to be during the millennium, the 1,000 years. Now, even though we believe that it's in 1874, that's not the same as the resurrection. It is a times of restitution, but it's not the resurrection. And it's not getting their return to the earth. That'll be when they are resurrected as humans back on earth. So this Jubilee refers specifically to the world. And the priesthood of Israel refers to the church.
Over. So what are you saying, Sister Alice? We really like it how you responded. What are you saying is, if we remember, when the land was given to the Israel, it was given only to 11 tribes. Was not given to Levites. So if we can remember something from today's meeting, I really like Brother Rick Sorach, how he is rounding. At least we have to remember one thing. Liberty was the meaning of the celebration, and the land was given to 11 tribes, not to Levites. And that's why it's written here that this was for people and not specifically for the priesthood, which they are coming from the Levites. Sister Alice, that's correct?
Yes, that's what it, I believe the type has to be specific to the antitype, not to be mixed up. I would agree with what you said.
Okay, then we see harmony here. We like it. God is good with us. Okay, now let's see the harmony of Brother James' comment.
Yeah, but there is a portion of the antitype actually occurring at this point with the Jewish people. The Jewish people today are returning to their land, which they had fallen into debt, and the Lord sold them into slavery. And today, since 1878, they have been returning to their land. Over.
Do you have a verse? Brother Jim?
No, I think it's a verse
somewhere where it says that they will return home.
Oh, well, there's plenty of Old Testament verses. actually, my voice is having a problem. One is where Simon refers to it in Acts, the 15th chapter, and he's citing Amos, the 9th chapter. He says, this is Acts 15, verse 15, the words of the prophet agree with this as it is written, after this I will return and rebuild the fallen tent of David. Its ruins I will rebuild and restore it, so that the remnant of men may seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by his name. But anyways, that is one that's really returning the Jewish people to their land. Over.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Jim. We were seeing the harmony as well. And now we'll have two more hands, and we will close to with these hands. We're having Sister Margaret first, and then Brother Brad.
Thank you. Yeah. Scripture, because there are many scriptures that speak of returning to their land. But one I particularly like, because we talked of 1878, I believe, is Hosea 2, verse 15. Hosea 2:15. I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor, and a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. That expression, door of hope, the Hebrew is tetatikva, and tetatikva was the where the first kibbutz was built, or someone else could give more details on that. But I think that that was very significant for 1878, which, of course, Brother Russell was one of the first to recognize that date. And we're looking that much more so for 1948, of course. But if I could just take a minute or two to say, to me, this is a very difficult chapter. And when I first read it, and we're talking way back, I thought, I'll never get this. And then the class was going to have a study on it. And so we were just starting with elder approval to have a sisters meeting in the daytime. And we decided to study this chapter, and I was determined to get it, and I did. But what I wanted to lead up to is yesterday I read a chapter in what Pastor Rustle wrote for the Overland Monthly. And on page 84, this was written for a newspaper, not like the volumes, but it was written, Brother Russell had a newspaper column, not a truth, but anyway, someone knows more details. But the title is The Jubilee of Restoration. It's only 6 pages, and you wouldn't believe it was the same writer, just constant short sentences. And to me, it so gets to the point of a great overview. So I think someone's having difficulty or whatever, I'd really encourage them to read this chapter as kind of more of an overview idea briefly. Thank you.
And you're speaking about the chapter 2?
I'm talking about page 84 in here.
That's what I'm trying to see. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you put that in the chat, please? Yes.
I will.
Thank you. And Brother Brad, the last word, please.
Thanks, Brother Igor. This is kind of an aside, but when I read this paragraph, it really stood out to me, and I'm connecting it to our Thursday meeting in the Tabernacle Shadows. His point here is brought up in Hebrews. When you read through Hebrews, it talks about all the people. Let me just see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. I've heard different explanations on who are the people in Hebrews. But I'll read one verse. Hebrews 9:19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. And so, you know, it's the blood of sacrifices are sprinkled on the people. It's when we read about the people in the book of Hebrews, this is what this paragraph is telling us in my mind. It's telling us that the ultimate objective of the divine plan is to recover, is to restore, is restitution for all the people and all that was lost when Adam was taken out of the garden. And so I just really appreciated that. And I guess maybe it's kind of particular to me. Maybe others have heard. I heard different explanations of who all the people are. and seems like some were applying this term to the spiritual class, the church. And I think this paragraph is really doing a nice job of defining who is the ultimate ones that are blessed coming out of the Jubilee. And that's what really the Hebrews scriptures are teaching us to, not with those words, but with in principle. Over.
Thank you, Brother Brad. We will stop here, brethren. It's page one, what is it in English? Yeah. 178. First paragraph. 178, first paragraph for the next time. Well, this is Sister Sharon is helping us that we need probably more discussion. I think Brother Brad covered nicely. This is really tight with our Thursday meeting. But we will be back, and if we'll want to quite do more discussion on this one, of course we can. We're looking for a hymn.